Yeah, definitely could go into details there. All right, I'll get into it. So we're
into
full origin story. This is my life story, everybody. Sit back, relax. So after university or after university.
This is the Crit RPG Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything lit RPG, progression fantasy, and Royal Road.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Crit RPG Podcast, the only podcast where two people with three names are making things up as they go along. With me today is Justin Thomas James. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I didn't realize there were two people with three names here.
Yeah, I also have three names. I can't tell them because I would dox myself, and I don't want that. But I have three first names.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, what's doxing? Sorry.
You don't know doxing. Doxing is this thing where you release information about people on the internet. And then people find out where they live. And this is how, you know, like people send like SWAT teams to people's houses.
Dang. Well, I just got doxed. I've been doxing myself this whole time. I built an entire career around doxing myself.
I'm not quite sure that's how that works, but no, I don't think so. You made a career out of something else. You made a career out of reading books out loud.
Mm. So far, that's what I've been doing.
Is it changing?
Yes.
Am I the last?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll retire and do something with animals. Who knows? Maybe like a penguin host.
Or ravens.
That'd be cool. Or ravens. Yes. Yes, ravens, polishing daggers.
However
you want to take that.
Yep.
However you want to take it.
That stays in.
I mean it in every sense of the word.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we already established you were a bit tired because of a quesadilla-related incident yesterday night. If you want to listen to that, it's in the bonus material, so go check that out. It's on Patreon. That being said, so you are an audiobook narrator / voice actor. How would you call that yourself?
I am a... I think that where I've kind of landed is producer, audiobook producer. Ooh. Yes, because my relationship to audiobooks is definitely I'm a narrator and that's a big part of my job, but I also do a lot of other things, similar to Jeff Hayes, who I work very closely with. It's about, we look at the entire process of, you know, creating audiobooks. So from hiring other actors when we're doing multicast and, you know, adding music, composing music, and the entire end product we very much are looking at. That's kind of how I relate to audiobooks, is the whole production.
Nice.
So audiobook producer.
Audiobook producer. And you're doing that for Sampoo Theater, which is 100% a name that we can name on this show. This is not separate. So
Indeed. Yes, I work very closely with Soundbooth Theater. I'm the COO of Soundbooth Theater. Mm-hmm. But I'm also, I work kind of like as an independent, because, you know, all of my titles I'm you know, very much connected to and have had such oversight over, that, you know, it's Justin Thomas James and Soundbooth Theater. So, yeah, very much connected and excited about what the company is doing.
Oh yeah, man, me too. I mean, obviously, most people will know you, like Sambo Theater, that is, from like the Dungeon Caller Carl one. But my first encounter with you was, I think it was Dead Tired actually, and I was like blown away by the by the quality. And now I'm going to push my book at you when I'm done.
Oh, push! Oh, how? Like for a signature?
No.
Or
read this. No, it's going to be fine.
Oh, to read. Oh, your book. You're an author as well.
Yeah. Most people don't know this. Yes, I also have a book. It is on Royal Road. You can read it right now. It's got pretty good ratings. People are either super confused or they love it a lot. Which one will you be? Great. Well, one way to find out. Thank you. Thank you for that segue. Yeah, I will.
Perfect. You set me up for that.
Yeah. I will. Or I will. You up for that. I'm rewriting it. I'm like not rewriting it. I'm revising it right now. I'm almost done. It's really nice.
Have you getting it ready for Amazon?
Getting it ready to get published. I think I'm going to send it out to many of the other publishers.
Excellent.
I think a very nice side benefit of, you know, my curiosity of meeting all these publishers.
Yeah.
Toss them out. Perfect. Have you ever written? Are you a writer?
Have I written? I would love to someday. I would love to write, but I haven't yet. A simple answer, not yet. Not seriously. I've done some. I used to be a D&D DM, mm-hmm. so I would write a lot for that stuff, for like running cool. campaigns and that sort of thing. But not too much since then.
Is that part of your evil origin story?
Dungeons and Dragons, oh, very much part of my evil origin story, yes. Okay. Yes. Started in high school and then carried all the way through university. After university, started a podcast called Dice Shame, which you can listen to. Mm-hmm. I'm in the first season of that. And also a part of the Invictus stream, which mm-hmm. was which is a streaming group that I was part of every Wednesday for a while. Nice. Until things really ramped up with Sound Booth, so
pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, big foundation for fantasy loving and you know, games, and it's very much a nice feed into getting into lit RPG for sure.
Dope. You need to tell me more about that, because that was a very very vague segue, and I'm here to ask deep questions.
Yeah. Let's get into it. That's just the taste.
Oh, nice. So. We got young Justin. How old were you when you started, you know, when you went Trap of the Devil and started playing D&D?
Oh, I think I was 15.
Okay.
I was in grade 10.
Nice.
I believe that's 15. Yeah.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Oh. And I didn't know much about Dungeons and Dragons, mm-hmm. but I had a rival in high school. Actually, he was my rival, mm-hmm. And he played the trumpet, and I played the trumpet, and I could hit the high notes. And so the band instructor put me as first trumpet and moved him to fourth trumpet, and so he hated me for the first couple of years of high school. But then I found out that he played D&D, mm-hmm. and I overheard him talking, and I was like, dude, you play D&D? Can I come over and play? And he was like, sure.
Oh, no.
And we've been friends since. But okay. Yeah, he yeah, that's the origin story. And so from there, and it was crazy D&D. I'm glad those early sessions weren't recorded, because there was some silly shit, which is, I think, an essential part of D&D. If you're playing D&D, needs to be silly.
I think super silly. Okay, so how did that then translate from I've been friends with my enemies in school to reading lit RPG? I mean, obviously, you were interested in D&D because you were reading a lot.
No, actually, I wasn't reading all that much. I was playing a lot of video games.
Oh, okay.
I'd get home from high school and I would play, you know, Final Fantasy. Those were the games that I was most into, RPGs. Mm-hmm. And D&D, just based on the little bit that I knew about it, offered another way to connect with that world, role-playing.
Yeah,
you know, that's like the prime example of role-playing, right? So it had something to offer that video games couldn't, that interaction, that you know, ability to use my own imagination to decide what happens. And so it definitely stemmed from a deep love of video game RPGs.
Oh, nice. That's pretty cool. That's how it usually starts. For me, man, so D&D was never really big in Germany. Hmm. It was something called the Dark Eye or the Schwarze Auge in German.
Schwarze Auge, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking fun. I don't quite know how they came up with it. I think it was like a spin-off of D&D, and it was very similar. Okay. But yeah. They had like their own world and everything and own races.
Okay.
And it's far more Conan the Barbarian than it is D&D. So like lower fantasies, like there's still spells and magic and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
I think the only races that they really had when like at the start was like humans and elves. That was it. So yeah. it was really like very German, very efficient.
Okay. Yes, efficiency.
So
I'm half German. Are you? I don't know if you knew that. Yeah.
So your last name is Yamas?
Yeah. Yamas. Okay. Justin Yamas. No, my mother's maiden name is Hatke.
Ach, schön.
Yeah.
That's cool. Schön.
Und meinen Oma ist un Krusemark.
Okay. Wait, that's like southern German, right?
Wittenberger was where she was born.
Oh, man. That's like...
My opa was born in Schnathorst.
That sounds so weird. I've never heard of that city, but... Yeah.
it's very... City is kind. It's a very, very small village, yeah.
Yeah. Just as a segue, I've... Just this last couple of days, I've looked at this new game that's coming out. It's like Zelda-like. They are producing it in Austria. And it's called Dungeons of Hinterberg.
Dungeons of Hinterberg.
Yeah, where there's like this small village in the Austrian Alps that has a dungeon. And people just go there for relaxation, like smash some orcs. They have like ski lifts up there, and you can like ski to the dungeon and then, you know, go in. And the protagonist is just like this law student who wants to like have some time off. So she takes like a vacation to the Alps and goes into some dungeons. I think that's charming. It's so wonderful.
Sounds cozy.
Very cozy. And I've been seeing it a lot more recently, also in the RPG, you know.
But cozy?
Yeah, cozy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's honestly refreshing for me. I really like the just the lowering of stakes a little bit. I think that for after the pandemic, maybe I wonder if that's had something to do with it, where you know, everybody's stress levels were so high that having some content that's just like, it's gonna be okay. There's gonna be a happy ending, I promise. There's gonna be no dramatic twists and turns. It's just gonna be some nice stuff happening and people, you know, having fun and interacting with this cool world.
Yeah, right. Shout outs to Brian Norton's Quest Academy, which is like lots of shit happening outside, but inside we know, you know, we're having keggers and I don't know, like crafting cool shit. And it's interesting. I think you're right. So I think in the pandemic, people were like really calming down. Afterward, I think it like kind of rose a bit again with the tension levels, you know, coming out of that. But yeah, I think I also enjoy the lowering of the stakes a little bit. If you're looking at historically fantasy, the stakes have never been... Well, what do you think? What percentage of books have like the world will end if you don't do it in fantasy at stakes?
Epic stakes. I mean, I think that whatever cozy content existed out there, it was a much smaller percentage of the market. You know, even Harry Potter has such high stakes. Yeah. Even in book one, it's pretty high stakes, you know. Definitely cozy parts, but yeah, it gets intense there.
Cozy parts and also Magic Hitler. So I think...
Yeah, Magic Hitler. Yeah. So throwback to German heritage here.
What?
Oh, I feel it. But Yeah. I think that it was a lot more common to have that, like, you know, those regular beats that, mm-hmm. that, you know, standard plot where you've got the climax mm-hmm. and then the denouement. It was a lot more intense back in mm-hmm. the '90s and 2000s. Like, you would expect there to be some, you know, world shattering, or at least, you know, life of the protagonist shattering event or antagonist or what have you. So I've definitely been seeing cozy more as a thing recently.
Yeah, I think this is completely not where I thought this podcast would go, but I'm very interested in it. What do you think constitutes cozy?
Good question. That's a really good question. I'm probably not the best person to answer this because I haven't read all that much cozy. Mm. You know, I think that stakes, you know, do play a role. Mm. I think that there's also,
it's really interesting, yeah. right? Because stakes aren't always low. If you're looking at heretical fishing, the protagonist is literally there to, like, he's a protagonist of, like, this, like, aeons long prophecy.
Okay.
And cults are out to get him to, like, fulfill the prophecy, and he just wants to fish.
Right.
But I think maybe that is that, this kind of insisting on a slower life in the face of possibility of adventure, you know?
Right.
And then still being dragged into adventures, even though you really, like, it's the first part of The Hobbit, but in perpetuity.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, maybe, you know, with that book, you say Heretical Fishing?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that book, but does it, how in your face is it that it's like he's getting, you know, roped into this stuff? How much anxiety do you feel when you're reading it?
Not at all. Because,
not at all. Yeah.
Well, a little bit sometimes. So okay. the full book title is Heretical Fishing, A Guide to Outsmarting the Fish, to Catching Fish, Outsmarting the Cults, and Alienating Yourself, or something like that.
Okay.
It's really, yeah. It's a really good book. Haylock is the first guy who I've ever had on the podcast, and his book is coming out. Or, like, when this is released, the book will already be out. So
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I think that's probably a big that I like that, because I've mm-hmm. seen that before as well. Again, I haven't read a whole lot of cozy, but mm-hmm. And I haven't finished this one, but Legends and Lattes, by Travis Baldry, mm-hmm. of course. It definitely plays with that trope of mm-hmm. you know, leaving a world behind, a world of intense chaos and drama and death and, you know, guts and gore, and pursuing something else. And there's a little bit of that in Dead Tired, a little bit, where the main character's motivation, you know, you feel safe reading it because Harold is so overpowered. There's no anxiety because you're like, Harold will figure it out, and all the characters, you know, who are against him are freaking out, but you, of course, aren't on their side. So, you know, you're fine.
Even though you're identifying with, like, an ancient lich who has, like, raised kingdoms. And you're like, yeah, this is a cool dude I'd love to hang out with.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Even though his charisma is 4.
Right. Yeah.
That was a funny detail.
I love that.
So there's a lot of, like, autobiographical stuff in Legends and Lattes, if you read it like that. All right. So Travis, when he was on the show, he said he mostly talked about how it was about leaving an old group and then finding a new group to, like, enjoy, you know?
Yeah.
Which is the gaming group and then the author community that he talked about. But also the way he spoke about, you know, the gaming industry, it was very interesting because it was very active and very stressful. And he even said, like, I'm not going back to making games ever because it was so stressful. And maybe that's just, like, you know, like his heroine, who really doesn't want to, like, butcher people anymore. He just really wants to do something else.
Yeah. Right. Wow. But what a thing to connect with. That's awesome.
Right, yeah. But speaking of autobiographies, I will go back to surgically removing that from your lips. So you were saying that you didn't read all that much, you know, growing up. So there's a huge gap between high school and now. I mean, no offense, but can you fill that gap for me?
You know, I actually, almost failed English every year in elementary school and high school. I had an elementary school teacher who told my mom that I should be in remedial English. My mom didn't like that. She was like, oh, you know, he was doing fine before, and now he gets into your class. All of a sudden, he needs remedial English. What is this? I wasn't a reader. Like, I just didn't get, like, what is the point of English? I speak it already, you know? I think what it was I never had a teacher that really, inspired me and showed me, like, everything that literature has to offer. Mm-hmm. I definitely felt limited. I was like, video games are so much more, entertaining. But I think, to answer your question, what filled that gap was that I always listened to audiobooks.
Okay.
I grew up listening to audiobooks. My dad loved them, and he would take my brother and I to the library, and we would pick out cassettes. Mm-hmm. And in the early days, it was like the kids section. They'd like come in a bag. And they'd like have like a book accompaniment book, and we would do that. But sometimes we would get some like dark shit and not really realize it, and my dad didn't care at all. Like we were listening to some heavy themes, and one of the things that I've talked about before, but I always go back to, is like one of the moments where I really started connecting with I guess more mature literature was Ray Bradbury. We picked up some books or some short stories by Ray Bradbury, and they were fully produced. They had sound effects, they had music, and they were creepy as hell, because Ray Bradbury is a great writer, but he can get into that sort of existential Lovecraftian fear a little bit. I remember listening to that and simultaneously being freaked out, but also really captivated by it. And my dad would listen to audiobooks. He still listens to audiobooks every single night while he's sleeping. So the ambience of our house growing up was my dad snoring loudly and the door to their bedroom open and an audiobook blaring. So you'd have like a Dean Koontz book just like tearing through the entire house at 3 a.m. and then it would stop. And then you'd hear like click, click, clack, click, click, click. Max continued on his way through the he'd always wake up to change the disc. So I don't know if he has that problem anymore, because he's got a library app on his phone. I think he listens to, but anyway,
that's amazing. Yeah,
that's my origin.
That's really cool. Okay, and then so straight out of high school, you founded Soundboat Theater. You look pretty young, so.
Well, thank you. Not quite, actually. I got out of high school. I went to university for music. Went into music therapy, and there was kind of a path that I was kind of like, just kind of bumping around. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but every year you got to make a decision. What do you want to specialize in? So I was like, music therapy seems cool, because it'll allow me to practice jazz. I really liked jazz, and they didn't have a jazz program at the school, so our music therapy program was very improv based. Anyways, so I got into that, and then did that for 4 years. Still played D&D every Thursday, and after that, worked for about 5 years as a music therapist in nursing homes, and teaching adapted music lessons to differently abled kids. And after about 5 years, after about 3 years, I started, picking up the hobby of recording. And I'd taken an online course on, you know, digital audio workstations and, you know, plugins and how to use that. I think it was a free course offered through Berkeley or something like that. And I needed something to record. Music is way too annoying and tedious to record and get perfect. So I was like, I need something that I can just practice all these things I'm learning for the programs. And because I'd grown up with audiobooks, it just, I was like, oh, I'll just record myself reading stuff that I like. So it wasn't until about 2014, 2015 that I started getting into more like voiceover. And it was around there when I met Jeff, through Twitter of all places. The internet's an amazing place. And, he, you know, after a little bit decided that he wanted to found Sound Booth Theater. And yeah, I'm kind of glancing over it because there might be stuff that you want to ask me about that, you know, in there. But
go on, like we can do this again. Like,
it's fine. That's true. Yeah. So, definitely could go into details there. But he, all right, I'll get into it. So we're
Yeah, come on, do it. Yeah.
Full origin story. You know, this is my life story, everybody. Sit back, relax. So after university or after university, I was working as a music therapist. It wasn't really fulfilling me. I loved it, but not as a full-time job. Very fulfilling in a lot of ways, but not every day. So,
very therapeutic.
Therapeutic. It was, yeah, I guess so. But counter therapeutic in some ways as well. It got stressful at times, but you know, got some great stories out of that. Oh, damn. That Coca-Cola glass. We had a glass exactly like that. Exactly that glass. Well,
McDonald's,
not that
McDonald's 2012.
That's where you got
14
it.
Or something. Yeah. I don't know.
We just donated it. Otherwise, I'd definitely be running down and pulling it back up.
Yeah.
That
was a non-sequitur.
Music therapy, doing that. And then on the side, you know, I'm taking this course and recording, you know, some voices. I, you know, very early on recognized that I didn't just want to narrate. I wanted to add music to the stuff that I was narrating. So you can go to my YouTube channel, which I think you can just type in Justin Thomas James. And there are some early recordings of me narrating. I narrated the first chapter of Taran Matharu's Summoner Origins, or the Summoner, the Novice, I think, the first chapter of that. And, you know, reached out to him and was like, hey, can I post this? You know, I did this sample, whatever. Because he was doing really well on Wattpad. So I put these things up on YouTube and, you know, was sharing it on Twitter and just following as many people in the industry as I could at the time. Jeff happened to be one of those people, and he heard the sample that I did of Matharu's book, and he was like, hey, yeah, you're pretty good. Like, you know, let's talk. And so we talked for a while. I asked him a bunch of questions, and he had a project that he didn't want to work on. Or that he just didn't have the space to work on, more accurately. And so he asked, like, hey, do you want to narrate this? Now, are you familiar with ACX?
Yeah. So for anyone who's not, that's a platform that Amazon hosts where you can, it's basically Tinder for narrators and authors. That's very, very dumb description, but it's accurate.
Yep. That's exactly it. It's matchmaking. And I knew that I wanted to be a narrator at that point, but ACX was the way to become a narrator as far as I could see. I was like, wow, like if I could only just access this program, then that would, you know, give me the opportunity to start auditioning for projects. It wasn't available in Canada at the time. It was only available in the US and UK. So I was kind of at a standstill there, but Jeff encouraged me to work with this author, and I did. We figured out a way where I would send her the files, and then she would upload them, and then she would send me royalties because we did a royalty share. And it's a very, very interesting historical fantasy. I have never read anything like it. That is about the Ibu Gogo, an ancient race of like a relative, close relative to humans that were very small in Indonesia, and a Portuguese sailor that stumbles upon this island and, you know, meets the tribe of these people, and then there's zombies. So it's a really kind of cool read. My very first audiobook, published audiobook, that's on Audible. It's called The Measure of Man.
Oh, nice.
Either The Measure of Man or The Measure of a Man. Hmm. So I did that, and but it was kind of a clunky process. You know, long story short, I narrate that project, and, you know, it was so clunky that I just couldn't really do it feasibly for a number of other projects. So I just narrated stuff, continued to work. And a couple of years later, I left my job as a music therapist. I was seeing someone in another province, Alberta. And I left my job, and I was, you know, living with my grandparents, my Oma and Opa.
Nice.
I was recording stuff in their basement. And it was during that time that ACX became available in Canada.
Well, 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 it's a new ad. If you're interested in having your story shouted out on this podcast, please reach out to me under critrpg.podcast@gmail.com. For now, I just finished the first book in my own series, Torchbearer. If you like a slow burn story about weak to OP main characters, mixing magic and technology and numbers going up, you might also enjoy this one. You can find the link to my link tree down below. And that's all for now. Thank you very much for listening and or watching, and let's get on with the show.
Oh, cool.
And that was like the floodgates opened. I was ready to jump right in, and I auditioned for a few projects, and I didn't realize how lucky I was at the time. I thought I was just like God's gift to narration. Because within the first four auditions that I did, I landed a big one. Okay. Domino Finn's Afterlife Online, reboot, and then Black Hat and Trojan. I think it's a trilogy, or maybe there's a fourth one. Anyways, I landed it I like was reading the audition script, and I was like, this is really cool. It was lit RPG, which I didn't know what that was at the time, but it was like, oh, this character's in a video game. That's awesome. Never seen anything like that. Oh, there's like an AI. Like, oh, I know how to do an AI voice. Oh, let's do like a sound effect for the AI voice. So like, I was already like, you know, thinking in a very sound booth theater way. And, I auditioned for the project, and he was like, yeah, I think I'm going to go with you. And so I narrate that project. And there were a ton of issues, and I ran into a lot of snags, and it was not an easy process. And Domino has like a really keen ear for detail, which was the best thing I could have had at that time, was an author who really cared about, you know, getting the details right and everything being right. Cause I really had to stretch and work my systems in order to get it to sound better. There were audio issues that were happening that I had to iron out the kinks. And then I'd go and fix those issues. I think I'd fix them, but then other issues would pop up. So something was messed up in Ableton, which is the program that we use, or that I used at the time and still use. And, So he was great. He was fantastic to work with. He would give me like a big list, and it really, that attention to detail really helped me become a much better narrator, much faster, and much better audiobook producer, much faster. So I finished that book, and I bought this microphone to record that book, actually. And then I was like, okay, well, you know, I narrated reboot. So, I don't know. That was, I guess every four auditions, I'll get something. So I'll just audition for four more. I'm sure I'll get something else.
Okay.
Oh, I was wrong.
Oh, no.
Oh, was I ever wrong? I'd auditioned for, I think, 20 different projects and didn't get a single one of them. I got maybe two tiny little kids joke books. Okay. Joke books for kids. And you can find those as well. They're pretty ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. There's a bunch of, like, there's just, and they're great. I added sound effects and stuff. Like, what do you get when you cross an elephant in a hat? I wish I actually had a joke there. I totally set that up, and I don't have a punchline for that joke because it's not actually a joke. Anyways.
An elephant. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go with that. The jokes were that level.
Yeah,
that was pretty
good. Wow, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank so, you.
Hey, you've had some good ones today. Yeah, I'll tell you when they're good.
Blind chicken, eh?
So I did a couple of those, and those were actually pretty fun. And believe it or not, those titles, like, I got paid $70 mm-hmm. like to do each of those, but we did royalty, and I was like, I'm not going to make anything on royalty. But believe it or not, I ended up making a few hundred off of the nice. Bounty program, because I guess parents would be looking for content for their kids, mm-hmm. and the whole bounty program, I don't want to get into like the details of how it works necessarily, but I guess they would be signing up for Audible subscriptions just to get this joke book for their kid. Mm-hmm. So I think we had like 10 or so, bounties, and that's like $500, you know, that,
cool.
you know, anyways, they're very rare. It's very rare to get a bounty. That's the most I've ever gotten bounties was off of these joke books.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So anyways, I was doing that, and I was like, shit, like, I can't afford this. I've left my job, and I did this one book, and it was good, but I got to figure something out. So I was like, wait a second. I really liked that genre, that lit RPG thing that Domino was doing. Maybe I can find more of that. Mm. And so I go on Amazon, and this is my favorite part of the story, actually, because it all kind of ties together, where I'm like, you know, okay, lit RPG. Oh, here's a title. What was that one called? I looked at lit RPG titles, and the first one I found, I was like, oh, okay, you know, let's see if it has an audiobook, and okay, mm-hmm. it has an audiobook. And I just glance and, you know, mm-hmm. see that it does it. So I clicked on a number of them. They all had audiobooks. But as I was clicking through, I realized that I was seeing that they were narrated by the same person.
Okay.
Jeff Hayes.
Yeah.
And so I was seeing Jeff Hayes. And I'm like, wait a second. At first I was frustrated. I was like, who the hell is this guy? Just scooping up all the lit RPG titles. And then I have a moment where I'm like, wait. I recognize this name. It can't be. I go into my Twitter, you know, DM history, and lo and behold, it's that Jeff Hayes.
Okay.
And I was like, wait, this is great. So I reach out to him on Twitter. He gives me his email, and then we get back in contact. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's starting something up. He'd been streaming Sound Booth Theater live mm-hmm. By that point. And like he showed me the channel. He's like, yeah, I want to do something with this. Like, I want to kind of create like a community. Would you be down to, you know, come on the show at some point? And I was like, yeah, for sure. And I went on with, he was also at the time, another narrator had reached out to Jeff Hayes. Another budding narrator had reached out to Jeff Hayes and had asked him, you know, questions about getting into the industry, and like sent him a sample of their voice. And Jeff was like, hey, yeah, you've got something here. He gave her some pointers. I've already spoiled a little bit. gave her some pointers. Mm. And I ended up meeting with this person and instantly fell in love with her because she's absolutely amazing. And now she's one of the, if not the most well-known lit RPG narrator out there. And I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. Do you have an idea?
I don't want to like put my foot in like some like.
Oh, well, I guess I set you up to put your foot in your mouth for sure. Yeah.
Because I can think of two, maybe three, but I don't want to like.
Okay. Well, I'll just say it. But this was Andrea Parsnell.
Oh, yeah.
This was Andrea. And so you can find the very early days of Sound Booth Theater. You can find my inaugural episode with Andrea Parsnell. It exists. I don't remember. I probably said some bullshit because I didn't know what I was doing. But she was fantastic. I absolutely love, you know, working with her when we get to work with her. And that time I was just like, wow, like I've definitely found my people.
Yeah. She's on, her episode airs on this Sunday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How was the recording?
Oh, it's amazing.
Right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Like,
she's just such a like loving, like, but also like boisterously fun person.
We laughed.
And she gives great hugs. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
She's hilarious.
She's just like really, really great. Like, I don't want to say the greatest because I don't want to like demean anyone, but like recording with her was tremendous. We laughed, we cried, we had a really good time.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it was really, really cool. She told me a story about her school years.
Oh,
that
okay.
That was really interesting.
Pretty intense.
Yeah. If you want to listen to that, you can do that on my Patreon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway.
Nice. Good one.
Yeah, I got better at these. People have been telling me to advertise myself more because I'm worth it. They're lying, of course, but you know how it goes. They're like, they set him up to fail. They let him do all his work. And then no one will come and we'll laugh at him. That's what my friends are like.
That's
it. Sure.
That's what they're trying to do. Of course, I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Listen to that voice in your head.
Yeah, absolutely. I have this entire comedy, stand-up comedy thing where I joke about that all my friends hate me because they think I'm funny. They tell me I'm funny. It's like, yeah, Max, go on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
You should write that down, Max. Yeah, you should go on stage. Like, yeah, sure.
They just want to see your downfall.
Yeah, exactly. Like, sit in the back of the audience, like, no one's laughing. Crickets everywhere. Yeah. They're like, ha, 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 you fell for it.
That's the funniest.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so that was Sound Booth here. Awesome. Or, well,
that's where it started. That was the seed of Sound Booth Theater starting up. And it was about maybe 8 months later that Jeff reached out and was like, hey, like, you know, and I had found some work. I'd found a couple series that I was, you know, producing. And then he reached out to me and asked about me narrating a title. But then also they were looking for editors, like, you know, polisher, proofer, that sort of thing. So, I kind of got in doing that, you know, cleaning up Jeff's audiobooks, being able to listen to his performances. Mm-hmm. It was really good. And that helped, you know, flesh out what I was, earning. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool.
I will say that, I see in the bottom right corner of your screen, there's some Brandon Sanderson. That's the, Kingkiller, or not Kingkiller. Kings,
Stormlight Archives.
Stormlight Archives, right?
The Way of Kings.
Kings is the first book, right?
Yeah.
Stormlight Archives, narrated by Kate Redding and Michael Kramer. Mm-hmm. And those books, I was listening to book one the moment that I decided that I wanted to become a narrator,
because
I was so inspired by their performances.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh God. Michael Kramer doing Dalinar.
Oh yeah.
The Stormfather, like just the rumble that he can get in his voice. I was just like, oh, this is cool. You get to play so many characters. I love this. Yeah. So I saw those there and I was like, oh yeah, this is relevant.
For me, I think I listened to the first one because it was the longest English fantasy audiobook I could find on Audible at the time. That was before, you know, like the big... And see, if I wasn't doing that, if I somehow found a way to speak slower, I would also try the whole like narration thing. But I'm just not that person. That's okay. I will write instead. If I can
the audio book faster, that gradually gets faster and faster and faster.
Yeah.
I'd listen to that. That'd be really cool. You should do it. You should do it.
Yeah, sure. You're one of those friends. I can see that. Yeah, sure. So I was listening to that, and then from that, I actually got into Mistborn and then all the kind of all this other stuff. Yeah.
Pretty cool. Oh, Mistborn. Yeah. Oh,
that's pretty good.
Actually, I think I listened to Mistborn first. Mm. Yeah, someone had recommended it to me, and it was great. It was great.
It's not to be missed. Yeah, that joke was
born of this conversation.
I was about to say that you were really good. Thank you. I infected you.
I was waiting for it.
You're it now.
I was waiting for the setup. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a Sanderson joke here somewhere, but I don't know. Let's move right on. How many books are you reading these days still?
Like reading as in like...
Reading and also... You know,
this is how I read, by the way.
Everyone's listening, he's like motioning very with his hands close to his chest, very authoritarian.
Yes. A very German way of reading, very stern face.
I don't read like this. I read like
I'm sorry. I'm the expert on German reading. Mannerisms.
Yes. You are. Yeah. That is very true. I'm sorry.
I don't know why. There's just like I can see like this, like this is how you read. I can make this joke because I am German. Okay.
That's
so
cool.
You listen to me and you be very stern and you read the book. Okay. Three little pigs walking down the streets.
Then they all die.
That's terrible. Then they all die. German. And then Strudelpeter comes and he kills you. Okay.
I think the whole like German fairy tale thing. We never really got rid of that. But,
Were those some of the races in the black eye? The dark eye?
Because everyone wants to say like the dark eye, the black eye, because it's a schwarze Auge, but
Schwarze Auge.
Yeah. They didn't translate it like that, no. I am quite sure. But it didn't have witches.
Oh, Krampus wasn't a race?
No. No one knows Krampus in Germany. It's an Austrian thing.
Really?
No, it's an Austrian.
Oh, that's Austrian. I'm sorry. But you have Strudelpeter.
Strudelpeter. Yeah. Yeah, we do. Like, all these, like, how to scare your kid into being raised correctly. Strudelpeter, like, he never cuts his fingernails, never cuts his hair. And I think, like, he catches on fire or something. And then there's Max and Moritz, which is very close to my heart. And they like play pranks all the time, and then they fall into like a mill and die. So all these people like just die, and that's apparently how Germans raise their kids.
It works.
Do this or you will die. Okay, I will do
raise the stakes, and that's why we like cozy fantasy.
There we go. Yeah, German cozy fantasy. I have just baked some bread. Now you will die.
Now you will die. Oh, so cozy. It's nice. At least cozy. I'm not a bad person.
Yeah. It is so wonderful. It makes me feel warm in the heart. Warm around the heart, sorry. man, I can't wait to write more fake German characters. It's going to be so much fun. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the question. You read or narrate books still, right?
Yes. So I narrate books. I guess that's what I was asking. Do you mean like books that I'm narrating or like read for leisure?
¿Por qué no los dos? Why not both?
Why not both? Okay. Is that Spanish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't speak that much Spanish. I speak enough Spanish to get me into trouble. but not enough to elevate.
I see. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I like that. Yeah. So for work, yeah, I'm narrating about a book every 2 weeks. I guess that's my pace. I go a little bit slower. I definitely don't narrate as much as Jeff. I don't know how Jeff does everything he does. Honestly, I'm not even gonna pretend that I know. But
do you think it's careful? This one's really, really composite. Gefährlich.
Gefährlich. Yeah, what does that mean?
Dangerous.
Gefährlich.
Gefährlich. But it's
Jeff. Gefährlich.
Gefährlich.
yes, I think it is dangerous. No, you know, I think that there's you know, periods where it gets really busy because it's not just the narrating, right? Like he's pumping out like books every couple of weeks, but long ones. Mm. But it's all the other stuff, you know. It's building the platform, having meetings with the, you know, development teams and mm-hmm. other authors, and you know, staying connected and going to conventions mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a lot, and I think that, you know, similarly, but to a lesser degree, you know, I've got my narration schedule that I do, you know, in the mornings and afternoons, a little bit in the afternoon, and then I just have meetings for the rest of the afternoon, and I like this pace because also like it means that my voice is fresh for more of it. There are some narrators that have incredible endurance. And for whatever reason, I'm not one of them. I tend to slow down unless I really give myself the space. So to answer your question, you know, two weeks generally I'm narrating. So maybe, I guess about 20 to 25 books a year. I narrate and produce. Okay. But actually that's in theory, really. Mm-hmm. The number is a lot less. If someone were to go to my Audible, I think it'd be like 12 last year or something like that.
Oh, not terrible.
No.
More than
but,
me.
Fair. In terms of leisure reading, not as much as I'd like to. Hmm. I would love to read more. I'd love to, you know, consume more fiction, you know, even in, you know, TV, movies, but I'm so tuned in. And like, if I'm reading something, for work, I'm doing a pre-read so I can, you know, understand the characters and the plot, the story, the stakes, the tone. So yeah, right now I'm pre-reading, Magical Girl Crystal Chronicles by Ravensdagger.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it Crystal Genocide?
It's amazing. Oh, Genocide. No, I always say Chronicles. I don't know why. It is Genocide. Magical Girl, Chronicles, Crystal, Genocide.
Sorry.
Oh, because of Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Crystal Chronicles?
I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that's cool.
That's why I'm doing that. It's all subconscious.
Yeah. No, with Raven's Dagger.
I'm reading that.
Yeah, with Raven's Dagger, like, always err on the side of Genocide. So.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Cool.
You know, let's add the cute. But the cozy again, like it's very cozy. It's a very cozy read, but then you've got this Attack on Titan element that's just really intense and gory, but
no idea how he does it.
Yeah.
He read my book and returned it to me and was like, "Max, look. I read very, very simple stuff." I'm like, No, you don't. It's like, no. I write stuff about girls who hug the system box or, you know, lesbian cyberpunk samurai. This is too complex. I'm like, I'm so sorry. No. I think he's doing great. But yeah, anyway, genocide aside.
Genocide from that.
Yeah. Thank you. That was good. Thank you. It was really good. I like that one.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's good.
Yeah. I just wanted to do one too.
Yeah. Oh my god, now I want to like add an item in some book that I don't know where, but you know, alcohol, like really high percentage alcohol, and call it genocider.
Yeah. Genocider. No, that's good. Oh, I like it.
Okay. We will get to the quesadilla jokes at some point. I'm quite sure.
It's rolling around back there. You know when you're like you do
getting closer. Because it's
rolling
round.
Around back there.
The quesadillas are
around. Yeah. I see. The subconscious is working on it.
Yeah. So let's get back to our main cast. Can I get in there?
Quesadilla. Quesadilla.
Main quesadilla.
The right main here. Quesadilla.
I think that could be a little bit.
That could be it. Yeah.
Right. That could be a little bit G. Like Mexican lit RPG. Oh my god, that
Mexican so weird. Mexican food yeah. lit RPG.
I cannot write that because they would be so friggin' racist if I did that. But
oh shit, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about it.
Nice. Good staple. I like it, but very well constructed. Delivery was spot on.
Well constructed.
Do you ever
I like that too?
Yeah. Yeah. You just stuffed it in there. Did you ever hang out with comedians?
Not comedians, but I was in sound booth theater. I guess so.
you are still in that, I think.
I still am. Thank you. Oh God, it was just a dream.
Yeah.
I was in theater sports. Mm-hmm. You can see what happened there. Theater sports in high school, was the improv club at our school. So nice. Wednesday, Thursdays, we would practice games, and then Friday we would do a show in the theater room for the rest of the school.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, it was a fun gig.
If you ever hang out with stand-up comedians, getting these people to laugh is the toughest job on earth.
Oh yeah, because they always, add.
No, you hang out with them and someone drops a joke, it's like kills. It completely slays. And they're all staying there, stone faced, like very well constructed. I like it a lot. The delivery is spot on. it's the coolest thing. Hanging out with comedians is one of the best things you can do. Because when they're let loose and comedians start laughing, the jokes are prime. Good.
I guess that feels it's like a higher standard, like if you can get a comedian to laugh.
Yeah,
it really
raises the average, the comedian. Anyway,
wow.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow.
Yeah,
that was very good.
Thank you. Just like that, they speak just like that.
Instead of just laughing.
Yeah, it's like very well, very well done. Yeah,
very well executed. Joke, yeah. Yes. Yes.
One of them at one point was like literally like stormed like yes lol yes and he got slapped. So my main question about asking you if you were still narrating books is how do you decide which one you take? I think this may be something for the sound with theater pop crawl that we can do later.
Sure. Yeah.
But in general, like. Are you in the position to say like, no, I will not read this crap?
Like, I say it like that too.
Yes, of course.
Ach, what is this?
Yeah, you're German, yeah.
Was ist das?
We established this.
Yeah, da. Yeah. Good question. It's changed over the years. There's a few factors that go into whether or not I'm going to narrate a book. I think this kind of ties into Sound Booth, but also very much ties into me, as an individual. Mm. Before this past year, pretty much, I would really judge books by their covers and their Amazon rankings. Mm-hmm. And, I'd look at the ranking and I'd be like, okay, all right, this is doing really well. People are really resonating with it. It's getting great reviews. And, the cover's great. So, I can take this one on. Mm-hmm. And that was a mistake. I thought that I didn't have the time to read the book. and get into it. And there's a lot of books out there, and the indie sphere is there's so many. Now, don't get me wrong, actually, because sometimes it's definitely worked out in my favor, where I've, you know, taken a book because I liked the cover, I saw the ranking was doing well, and that, or I've taken books where it was just ranking, ranking, and I didn't read a word of it, and I you know, World Tree Online is an example where I didn't read a lick of it, and I ended up loving it. I love that series to death. And I connect with it. And that's the main thing that I realized was missing in that process was, do I, as a narrator, connect with this? Or as a producer, rather. You know, as the producer, as the person that's, like, you know, looking at the overall vision. I guess director, creative director is maybe a more accurate sort of title, but looking at, like, does this inspire music in me? Like, if I want to, do I want to compose for this book? Do I feel connected to the story? Do I feel connected to the characters? I didn't think that really mattered. You know, when choosing a title to do, it's just like, oh yeah, like, I'm sure I'll love it and I'll just, you know, get it done. But, there's some titles that I've taken on where I, you know, it's very popular. It's doing really well. And it, for whatever reason, it just hasn't clicked with me. It hasn't been my, it hasn't stoked that creative fire in the same way. And it doesn't mean it's a bad book. It doesn't mean that it's, you know, it shouldn't be narrated, but it just means that, you know, maybe I wasn't the right narrator for it, but because I jumped for it, you know, you commit, you sign agreements, then you start reading it, and it's like, oh, okay, this isn't this? Me. This isn't me. I shouldn't be doing this book.
Oh no,
you know. So I think the very you know, least, you know, I was doing was just, like, reading the first couple chapters and getting a sense of, like, okay, all right, this is, you know, first person, but a male POV, or, you know, it's third person, you know, and it is, like, a male main character. So it, you know, it feels natural for me to, you know, do this one. So yeah, there definitely have been titles like that. So now I am doing a lot more reading. I'm doing a lot more kind of vetting and just, you know, kind of like skimming through, not necessarily skimming. It still takes me a while. But, you know, getting, like, a rough, what's that called that they do in movies, with the pictures?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not a sketch. Storyboard.
Yeah. I get the storyboard in my head and I, you know, feel it out. And if I start to feel a little bit off, then I'll be like, ah, no, okay, this one's not for me, you know, even if it's doing really, really, really well. If it's doing really, really, really well, then, like, there is also, like, the actors, you know, kind of like, okay, how can I make this work? Can I make this work? You know, I might dig a little bit deeper than if it's a title that's, you know, not performing that well, you know, anyways. And then there's the titles that aren't performing well, but that I'm super passionate about. That do stoke that creative flame. So, it's a balance. It's about balance between, is it going to make money? Am I passionate about it? Do I have the time for it? And is the author actually letting me, you know, do this? So that's how I choose.
Awesome. Well, all right. I have many more questions, but that will have to wait for the other half of the podcast that I will heinously hide on Patreon. Yes. However, I will not rob people of their shoutouts. And also, I mean, you mentioned some books that you loved, but why don't you tell us about, like, one more book that you loved and why is it awesome?
Okay, so I've mentioned Dead Tired. We've yes. talked about Dead Tired, obviously, which I absolutely love. I just mentioned World Tree Online, and that's by EA Hooper, and it's a fantastic trilogy. It's wrapped up in three books. And
a lit RPG that's not in a trilogy. Heresy!
I know. It is heresy. And it's very refreshing, I find.
Very refreshing. Oh my god. This is going to be the tagline for this podcast. Very refreshing heresy.
Very refreshing. Very refreshing heresy. That's right.
Oh my god, I need to tell this to my this is so good.
Yeah, I nothing against long series. Like, you can get into a lot of, you know, really rich character growth and development over a long series. But I do find it very satisfying when a series ends, and how, you know, the author manages to tie everything together. Seeing how EA did that with World Tree, I was just like, wow, this is really cool. Each book gets better. And the last book, it's just so satisfying because it all connects. So yes, a heretical yet very satisfying and refreshing series. And lastly, I will mention Archemy Online, as that's kind of like my, oh god, I can mention so many more.
Yes, but please don't. It's one book.
Okay, I won't.
No. Like,
one.
What I do is, after the show, I collect all of them, and this is also for you, dear listener and or watcher. I collect all of them and I put them underneath the podcast so you can check them out. There's Amazon links. Amazon links might be affiliated with me, and I might earn a little commission.
Oh.
I have to say that. Nice. It comes out automatically.
Well, that's good. You tell the people what's up. I definitely earn money. If you go and you pick up these books, I make money too. And Jeff makes money too.
And I would love if you bought all of these books on soundbooththeater.com.
Well, these ones aren't available on soundbooththeater.com. Well, unfortunately. Dead Tired. Okay, so Dead Tired, you can go and you can click the link to Audible. And if you aren't, yeah, and then you can buy it that way. And it's a special link that if you aren't an Audible member, then, and you become an Audible member because you've picked up Dead Tired, then, you know, we get the bounty. That's the bounty program. But we do have the Dead Tired 2 cold reads on the platform. Oh. So if you want a sneak peek into book two, you can get them there.
Dead Tired 2. Too Tired, Too Furious.
That's good, actually. That's very well executed and delivered.
Thank you. Executed and... because it's dead?
Oh!
Yeah! I'm on fire. See? Here we go.
Yeah. You got it. Yeah, Archemy's great. I composed music for it. There's a soundtrack. So each book,
yes.
First book has like 16 minutes of music in it. And then second book has like 35. And then third book, I think, has closer to an hour of very Final Fantasy inspired music. And it was...
I love that.
That's what it inspired in me when Jeff brought it to me.
I will also link your first chapter that you put on YouTube, because I thought the animation, that was really awesome.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. First chapter of Dead Tired. Yeah, the prologue. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm glad.
This is really,
really talented.
This is what made me buy it.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah. Like, you earned at
successful
least
advertising.
$5 over that video.
Yes.
Okay. So, right. Any shout outs?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Download the Sound Booth Theater app. Sound Booth Theater Direct. Coming right in your ears.
You have an app?
That's not our official tagline. We do have an app. We do have an app that is available on iOS or Apple and Android.
Cool.
So you can listen to a lot of cool stuff there that you can't listen to on Audible, including the Dungeon Crawler Carl Audio Immersion Tunnel.
yes.
Which has sound effects and music and all of that stuff. Have you listened to that yet?
No. But that's because Dungeon Crawler Carl gives me anxiety.
Opposite of cozy.
Opposite of cozy. I think that is a tagline of Dungeon Crawler Carl. The opposite of cozy. I think we can agree on that. No, but I did listen into it. And yeah, you threw everything in the kitchen sink at that thing. Like there's everyone.
Oh yeah.
Everyone who ever narrated the book is in that tunnel.
Yep.
I always want to call it a flesh tunnel, but I'm not quite sure why. But
I think that would be appropriate.
Yeah. So it's very well fleshed out. Yeah.
It's okay. Well fleshed out idea.
So any other shout outs?
Yeah, Andrea Persino. Listen to her. She's awesome.
Yeah.
Just
in general, listen to her, period.
Just in general.
You can listen to her podcast that I did.
This Sunday.
Yeah. Well, Sunday. Not this Sunday, because when people listen to this, it's going to be like...
Oh, that past Sunday.
Yes, that Sunday. Happened. Yes.
You go listen to that. Right, yeah. I forget that.
You can find it if you click. And if you follow, please follow. I am so close to 1,000 followers. Please follow.
Great.
Oh, also, I finally thought of a quesadilla joke, but it was too cheesy.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
That's good. Okay.
On that very satisfying note, we will end this podcast.
Ciao.
Ciao. Thank you, everyone, for listening and or watching. Consider Patreon. Please follow, like, subscribe. And I'll see you next time. And if you're on Patreon, the show goes on.